hope everyone had a good afternoon. Mine was marked with some disappointment, I'd have to say, because we went to my restaurant for dinner and it was gone. The restaurant was gone. I've been looking forward to this Father's Day Indian food for the last 3 weeks, thinking about Indian food, Indian food. It's gone. That's tough, I'll tell you. If anybody knows a good Indian restaurant, please, please come see me afterwards and let me know about it. So, I mean, it was Mexican food again, like, you know, but oh well. But it was good to be with a couple of, two of my kids and hear from the others. That was nice. That was really nice. Tonight, in a minute, I'm going to ask you for some, a little bit of help and input. This first part we might be able to tell without the roving mic. We're kind of a small group. We can just speak up a bit. Tell of a time when you received a warm welcome from people you didn't previously know, in any setting, a time when you received a warm welcome from people that you did not previously know. Yes, sir, mine. Okay. All right, the people that had been praying for Milan when he'd been ill and going back to Texas and actually seeing them, meeting him, that would be terrific. Gianna, do you have one? Great. Everybody received you at first day at Orange County Christian School. First day at school, that's a pretty big moment. You wonder how it's going to go. And to be welcomed, that's really great. Willie? It's great when a church family welcomes you that way. Eldon? Working in Oakland, went to a small church, got a good welcome. Yes, Glenn? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, Glenn visiting the Philippines, the only non-Filipino in the assembly, everybody welcoming him. Well, it's good to see. Well, there's just, I'll take one with Jesse, and then I'll call on the rest of you in a minute, or maybe there's so many hands. I'm glad that everybody's had so many good experiences. Yes, go ahead. Okay, good welcome. All right, Earl, did I see your hand up, or? Go ahead. Uh-huh. That's great, you know, when I asked that question, the first one of the things that came to my mind was my wife's family, my wife's mother's family, most of whom, by the time I really got to know the family, it was like all the men, for one reason or another, were gone. They're all, I won't go into all the reasons maybe for that. There are a lot of reasons, some passing away. But it was just like almost all women, and it was just kind of weird. We would go up to visit, and I would be like the male in the group, but they were her aunts and her cousins, just, you know, people I hadn't really met or known. When you get that kind of welcome, I mean, it has a positive effect. And my next question was, tell of a positive experience you had when visiting a church where no one knew you, and there've already several of you have already responded to that. It makes a big difference, obviously. Now, I'm not going to ask you to describe this, okay? Just a show of hands. How many of you have ever visited a church where either you were not made to feel welcome or where you seemed invisible? Has that ever happened to you? Okay, look around at the hands. Look around at the hands. Okay, very good. My next question was, but it's pretty, I mean, I think it's pretty self-evident. How did that make you feel? How does it make you feel when you go to a church? You talk about going to a church, everybody welcoming you, everybody happy, Willie and Eldon as well. Going there, people just reaching out to you, making you feel like part of the family. What's it like when you go and that doesn't happen? Anybody want to just speak to that? Courtney? Okay, makes you uncomfortable, makes you not want to come back. I'm trying to think if there's anybody who could possibly figure out where this church is. I don't think so. We were on vacation with our kids. I hope you don't know where we went on the weekend. We weren't in Portales for church, but we were visiting a congregation. And you know, sometimes you walk in and it just feels like a good atmosphere. And man, this church, it just had a great atmosphere. It was like, it was just kind of a little bit laid back, and everybody was, you could just tell, you know, it was, you know, a good atmosphere. The guy got up to make the announcements, and when he welcomed the visitors, he said, "We are a very friendly church." He said, "In fact, everybody here is friendly. So if you go out of this building and you haven't been greeted, it must be because you are one of the most unfriendly people on the face of the earth." And everybody laughed. Well, we had come in, the 7 of us, and you know, we got there before church, and we were kind of standing around, and we went and sat down, and nobody had spoken to us. And then after church, we got up, and we were just kind of standing there, you know. Katie had taken the boys back to some Bible program they were having during the sermon that they announced, so she did that. So we're kind of waiting for her. We come to the foyer, we're standing there. I mean, we're kind of hard to miss, you know, and we're standing there, and Katie came with the kids. We just kind of looked around. We waited for a few minutes, and left, you know, and I thought it was just strange, you know, to have that announcement made and then to get that kind of a treatment. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, one of the reasons it kind of has piqued my attention, if you get the Christian Chronicle, there are several articles in this month on is your congregation visitor friendly? Is your church visitor friendly? And I'm just going to read the couple of paragraphs that open the lead article. It said, when Sarah Sturman and her family moved to the Dallas area last summer, they visited half a dozen congregations. At each, their experience was basically the same. And this is what she says. Our family sat alone and was ignored before service started. If we were lucky, we were greeted during shake and bake. She said, referring to the forced greeting period when the worship leader asked everybody to stand around and welcome people around them. And the man who writes this article says, undoubtedly, no church thinks it's unfriendly. Do you think we're unfriendly? Of course not. We're not unfriendly. We're friendly. I know. I've heard Tim say it some Sunday mornings. We're friendly. And we want to be. We try to be. I know we try to be. Because of that, I thought it might be good for us just to consider a little bit tonight how we're doing that, how well we might be doing, but not so much that, but just some things to be thinking about as a congregation, about how to be aware of visitors and how to interact with them in a positive way. One of the articles, I thought about reading this whole article, maybe I'll just summarize it for you. Bobby Ross, who is one of the editors of the magazine who writes for it every month, talks about visiting the church. He's traveling for the Chronicle. He says, so normally when he goes to a place, people know he's coming. But he went to a church one morning and he had a little time before his flight. And so he found another church that was meeting that he could actually visit a second church kind of unannounced. And he had emailed the preacher there on a few occasions, though they'd never met. And so he thought, yeah, it'd be kind of nice to meet him face to face and so on. And so he tells the story of visiting this church. It's about a 200 member church. He drives up and right in front are these big parking spaces that say guest. And so he thinks, aha, so that's how they do it. You know, he's just trying to figure it out. You know, he's one of the brethren, so he's just kind of seeing what's going on. So he pulls into the guest parking spot, expecting, because it's the guest parking spot, somebody obviously is going to come meet him at his door, welcome him, but that doesn't happen. He goes in, he receives an order of worship when he comes in, but nobody introduces themselves to him. He goes to the restroom. He said he walked around the church building, just kind of looking to see what the church building was like. And then when he comes in, he sits down, and A family sits down in front of him. He's on a row by himself. A family sits down in front of him, doesn't say anything. Then another family comes in and sits on that row in front of him. And those families seem to be real good friends, talking with each other. And then a woman comes up to him just before service starts, and he thinks, finally, this is the moment. And she says, are these seats taken? And he said that was the longest conversation he had with anybody that day. And he said, no. So some people came in and sat down. And then he describes what happens afterwards as he goes and tries to wait to speak to the preacher to introduce himself. That doesn't work out for a variety of reasons. And then let me just read the very, very end of it. He says, I finally gave up and walked to my car in the visitor parking lot. I couldn't help but feel pretty disappointed as I drove away. A few minutes later, I received a much more enthusiastic welcome. As I turned into an off-airport parking lot to return my rental car, a man with a big smile spotted me immediately and waved me forward. "How was your trip, Mr. Ross?" a second employee asked as he rushed to carry my bags to a waiting shuttle van. "Come on in here and we'll get you ready to go," said a third employee who poked his head outside an office door. 60 seconds and three people already had made me feel at home. "Next time I'm in town, you can bet I'll visit again." The rental car place, that is. I'd like for us just to take a minute tonight to talk about this, about welcoming our visitors. For one reason, it's just a polite and courteous thing to do. It's just polite, it's courteous. It's what we would want to do. We certainly want to be welcoming to people who come. And I think there's even a greater role, because the way we interact with people the first time they come may have a very profound effect on our ability to establish a relationship with them, to want for where they would want to come back and be with us, and therefore give us an opportunity seriously to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus and the mission of the church to connect people to Christ, to preach the gospel. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's our mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says the way you do that, he has two phrases to explain it. First, you bring them to the point of understanding that they become children of God through baptism into Christ. And then secondly, you continue to teach them everything that Christ has laid out in his word. People respond to the gospel, and then we continue to teach. We are to build them up. We're to incorporate them into the body and encourage them to be faithful in their service. So the way in which we make visitors, or maybe guests might be a better word, feel welcome, can be an essential step in giving us the opportunity to carry out the mission of the church. Stop and consider this for just a minute. Consider to what lengths we're willing to go to make contact with people that we don't already know. When we talk about evangelism, we're always looking for ways, how can I connect with people at work? How can I connect with people over here so that I can share Christ with them? And think of all the effort, and rightly so, that we put in to any kind of outreach program that we have as a church, where maybe we're trying to bring people here, to connect with them here so that we can teach the gospel. Vacation Bible School, ESL, or Brothers in Arms program, or the doggy adoption, or just any kind of thing that we do where we try to connect with people. And we ought to. Certainly that's something we need to continue to do, every kind of outreach that we can. But almost every week, someone willingly, voluntarily walks through the doors of our church building oftentimes without any sort of invitation, and maybe with no previous contact. What an amazing opportunity that moment is for us. Think of the extent we would go to make that happen. And sometimes it happens with no effort on our part, because God just brings somebody to us. And so what we do at that point to maximize the opportunity of connecting with that person so that we can teach them and reach out to them, or if they are already a Christian, to encourage them in their faithfulness, or to become a member of our body here, anything that we can do is obviously something we all want to do together. What kind of people, if we're thinking in terms of categories, just for a moment, to give us an idea of people, when people come here who visit us, I'm not trying to pigeonhole people, but just thinking in terms of general categories, what kind of people would come to visit? Can you think of categories? I'll give you an example if this is kind of a weird question. Relatives of church members. Today, my son and daughter-in-law were here. Appreciate Roxanne telling me that Oscar's folks were here. I didn't realize that. Oscar's folks were here. Several of us here today may have had family members. That happens a lot, where family members of church members are here. Sometimes those people are Christians. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're looking. I mean, it's a variety, of course, of situations. But there's an opportunity where we certainly want to make such people feel welcome. We want to make them feel welcome for themselves. We want to make them feel welcome because we love their family members, and we just want to support them in whatever they may be trying to do to reach out to them. So that's one kind of visitor we have. What are other kinds of visitors we have? Just to think in terms. Fran? People on vacation, people passing through. Oftentimes, most of the time, those will be folks who are members of the Churches of Christ who are out here, they're looking for a Church of Christ to worship at. And boy, when we meet them, it's great, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's like when Eldon is in Oakland, or, when Willie went into Florida, and just to meet brothers and sisters. And you want them to know, I mean, that's such a great thing to make such people feel welcome. Anybody, any others? Just thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay, friends of people, which kind of goes along too with relatives, but friends. Sometimes we're working hard to invite our friends, to get friends to come, just to introduce them to the church, to introduce them to the gospel of Christ. You know, sometimes it's people that we've made contact with through a ministry, people who've come because of the food distribution. Or people who've come through other outreach ministries that we have, where we get into contact with them, and so their first visit, there is already a connection. And when they come because of that, obviously we want to do everything to maximize that effort. Sometimes it's members of the church who've either just moved to the area, or who've maybe have lived into the area for years, but have been a part of another fellowship or another Church of Christ. Or sometimes it's folks in the church who've been away from the Lord for a while, and then we have the opportunity to meet them maybe as they're moving back toward the Lord. But all of these are situations where we have people coming into our assembly, and we have an opportunity to make that contact with them. What might keep us, Elton? Go ahead. Did I leave that out? Thank you. Yeah, local residents who come, and that happens. We've had a couple of people on Wednesday night, especially. One is a young man who's been coming quite a bit on Wednesday nights, who just lives up the street, and he's just started attending. And sometimes we have, and that's really a blessing. I mean, think of what it takes for someone in the community who has no friend here, no contact here, has maybe no idea who we are, what the Church of Christ is, and they just walk in on a Wednesday night and sit down in a Bible class. Think of what it would take for you to do that. That's a pretty amazing thing, to go somewhere where nobody knows you and just to be there. And obviously, the way we respond to that person can make a huge difference in what kind of opportunity we're going to have to go further with them. What are the things that may keep us from doing a good job of welcoming people? What are some things that can keep us? Fran? Conversation just kind of peters out. You feel like, you know what she's talking about? It's like, okay, my name's Richard Shields. Where are you from? Okay. Where do we go from here? And maybe they don't look really talkative. And so, yeah, that's kind of a fear of like, where are we going to go? Absolutely. I was going to say, I have a feeling you might be one of them. Yeah. And that's good. Some people have more of a natural inclination to do that, and some of us are a little more frightened by it. Can we just say that? We're sometimes just afraid. We're just afraid. What Fran's talking about is like, I can go up and say hi, but then where do we go from there? How do I get into some conversation? And sometimes, you wonder. Sometimes people are very helpful with those kinds of, yeah, take them over to Carol Ann. Let me introduce you to Carol Ann. That's the Willie? Yeah, sometimes people are all there are times when people are a little afraid. I chased someone down today, and my first words to them was, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to chase you down, which I was, but I didn't want them to leave. I saw them going by, and I thought, and I was talking to them, I really appreciate the person I was talking to, because I said, I gotta go, and I took out the door. And many of you know this young woman. She's been here in the past when her husband deploys. Craig Isham, who's in our bulletin, she was here. Amy, yeah, she was here today. And I didn't recognize her at first. And the kids are bigger, but he's deployed recently. And so she was here today with two of her kids. And at first, I didn't realize that's who it was until we started talking. But, sometimes you get that. Willie, you're right. Sometimes it's like, they line up on the door, and it's like they're on the way. And if you don't get in front of them or chase them down, I appreciate the elders on Sunday morning always trying to be out there. And I know everyone is really out there trying to keep that, that straight shot from getting through. Because sometimes, and maybe somebody's had something happen, or maybe they heard something in the sermon. They don't like it. Sometimes people may just really want to leave for one reason or another. But I think whatever might keep us from talking to people, I think we can all agree, we just got to get over that, whatever it is, because it's just too important of a part of our body life as a congregation. And so if I'm scared, I got to figure out, and poor Carol Ann, we're going to have them lined up over to her now that we know that she is good at that. Well, we definitely want to avoid any negative experiences on anybody's part. I want to ask you, how can we be more effective? And Deanne, did you get the memo? Thank you very much. Deanne's going to take a few. I'm just wanting to hear from you. This is something that's been on my mind and my heart, and I'm just wanting to gather some information from everybody tonight. How do you think we could be more effective in welcoming every person who visits Newland Street? Or maybe in a way to think of that is, if you were arriving at a church building where you had never been before, what would help you feel welcome? Glenn? Oh, wait a minute. Does anybody else have an idea besides that? Go ahead, Glenn. Go ahead. Sorry. Sure. Those of us who are here tonight, for example. Okay. So your concern is that oftentimes, I mean, you're looking for a solution to the fact that oftentimes visitors sit in the back, and one of the solution you would offer is that maybe we fill up the back seats first and force them. No, I know what you but yeah. Sure. Okay. Are you talking about, for example, being in the foyer? Okay, being in the foyer? Okay, those who have that inclination? Okay, so basically having someone in the foyer. We have folks, of course, and we appreciate Dan, who's there. Come rain or shine, he can't. Sure, well, he does a good job, but I think we might need to give Dan some support to get some folks around him to help. Doug? Okay, we used to, go ahead, Roxanne. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Yeah, and you know what Doug is saying? We used to, every once in a while, it's like you can't say this on Sunday morning because people are here, but we used to talk about the 5-minute rule, where after the final amen on a Sunday morning, and it's like, this is such a paradigm shift for all of us, but it's like, don't talk to the people right around you that you always talk to, but look around you and see if there's anybody that you don't know, and go talk to that person. Go introduce yourself to that person or meet that person. And, you know, where you take that first 5 minutes, then you can come back. You know, we kind of all sit in our places, as Glenn was talking about, and when we get done, we tend to talk with the people who are in our section, and which is great. I mean, we love the fellowship in our family. We don't want to stop that. But to try to be cognizant of visitors around us, and then Roxanne taking another step, if you see someone, do everything you can to introduce them to someone else or to go find someone to come meet them. Because this is the kind of thing, you know, we can have a program and we can have station greeters and we can have really good record keep. We can do all of those things really, really well, and that's probably a good thing to do. But probably, honestly, the most effective thing is for just all of us to take this on as our responsibility and as something small that we can do. And work together and kind of build that sense of teamwork that what Roxanne's talking about of seeing somebody and coming over and getting somebody to come and meet them or taking them and introducing them. Yes, Glynis? Welcome. We're going to find out when we leave. We are all on the spot tonight. Yeah, I was almost, yeah. Willie? Shake and bake. Yeah. The shake and bake, it's funny. It's like one of those, some people love that and some people feel like they're put on the spot by it. I've had a few people mention it to me and I've thought, you know, because the one thing you don't want to do is make somebody feel uncomfortable. Like, all the visitors stand so we can all stare at you. But what you're talking about, in fact, someone who came to me not too long ago said, in a congregation they'd been, the visitors stay seated and the church stands and they look around for somebody sitting down to go, you know, to go introduce themselves to, so the visitor doesn't feel kind of out of place. Yes, Jen. That's a great, yeah. Yeah. That's an excellent thing. Excellent suggestion. Go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And that's something where all of us, if we have children, we can direct our kids to those kinds of families. Willie, and then we'll get you, Courtney. Okay, appreciate that. Yes. Good idea. You can do that same kind of thing before a service as well. When I was reading this Christian Chronicle, one of the things in the back, they have reader responses to things, and two or three of them just said things like, well, we're a friendly church and every visitor gets a great welcome at our congregation. I thought, you know, that's what we all think, because that's what we want. That's what we really, really want. And I'd just like all of us to think about how we personally can focus on that. Something that I've been just thinking about that this week, that a few years ago, I did something for a short period of time that I'm thinking about trying to recommit myself to, and that was that at the end of class, rather than going into the room where the men meet or going, just trying to immediately leave the classroom, which is in itself sometimes quite difficult to accomplish, but just because I typically go long, but to get out and to go to the foyer and to be there, to have some folks at that point to meet people on their way in. Because I typically see people on the way out, not on the way in. And to be able to greet people as they come in, some of us to walk through the auditorium, not to pace through, but kind of look, find visitors, see people that we don't know, and make a point before the service begins of going where they are and greeting them. Sometimes there are people who will meet someone in the foyer, invite them to sit with them. And maybe, Glenn, they would sit up toward the front with that visitor and move that, but you know, to where someone who comes in who might feel alone could have a you know, if it's a woman, have a sister come up to her and say, "Hey, glad to have you. Would you like to sit with us today?" Or, you know, where you actually, those kinds of things can happen just individually, or they can happen if they're kind of planned in a, in some sort of a, you know, a ministry attempt. But anything that we can do. The other thing, I'm going to throw some things out quickly because our time's gone. Think about first impressions. You know, when you go to the same place week after week after week after week, you don't think of things in terms of first impressions. Things like the shrubbery, the parking lot, the foyer. Are things cluttered? When a visitor takes their child to the classroom, is the classroom neat? I know I'm a freak about that. I got really teased yesterday about that. But, you know, is the classroom neat? When an adult takes their child into a classroom, is everything organized? Is the teacher there? All of these things that are first impressions. Because that the first impression, as you said, you know, you only get one shot at that. At the first impression, all of those, and they're little things. They're very, very little things, but they do tend to mount up, and you know, we all want to do everything we can to make people here feel welcome. We want to encourage them. I think there's some things that we can do as well. One, I think, Ellen, I've been talking about just this last week, is trying to commit to Sunday afternoon visiting of visitors from the community, to make sure that within 24 hours, you know, someone who visits us from the community, that we're at their house. Not to go in and make a big stir to come in for 2 hours, but maybe just to drop off a bag of cookies or something and say, "Thank you so much for coming." There's some really good ideas in the Chronicle. If you get that, you can take a look and read it. I'd like you to be thinking about this. There may be an opportunity for those of us who have an interest to maybe get together again and talk about some of these things and maybe pull some of our ideas together to be able to do something like that. Because bottom line, we want people to be saved. We want people to feel welcome in the church. We want to have an opportunity to teach them the good news of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we want to do everything we can to make them feel welcome. I really love our church family, and I always feel a sense of warmth and connection every time we meet. And I think we all, if not all, most of us really, really share that. And we want anybody who steps in the door to sense that. I was really happy when Amy said something to me today before she left about this feeling like family. And I thought, boy, that's what we want people to, we want people to feel welcome. We want them to know this is a family of Christ, and that it's not a closed family. It's a family that's open, a family that's ready to receive. And may God just bless us with maybe a heightened sensitivity. Be thinking over the next week or two as you interact with people. Let's see, just on our own, if we can just start thinking a little more that way, so that we have the opportunities that we have to maximize those opportunities. And thank you for your input tonight. I appreciate it, and I hope it's somewhat encouraging to you and stimulating to you to think about what you can do. What you can do to help people feel welcome. And again, we'll talk about this some more. We started out this evening with the commission of Jesus to his apostles to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of Jesus and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them all things. And tonight, as we meet, if there are any, as we meet every time we meet, we want to make sure if there's anyone here who's ready to begin that life of discipleship, or if there's something going on in your life of discipleship where you need the help of the Lord or the prayers of the church, we want you to know this is an opportunity to let your family know. Let's stand as we sing.